Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show with Donnie C., Dick, Scott, and Jeff. They talk about union workers' opinions, concerns, and questions. Call in and join the conversation at 347-324-3752.
It's Scott up here. How are you doing? Scott, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey. I'm doing fine. How are you all doing?
It's fine. Cold
evening. Cold and warm, and it hung me up.
No emails tonight, but we got plenty of things to talk about. And there's an article on Reform the UAW Now. I don't know if you've caught it. It's about Cindy Estrada.
No, I did not.
She was hired to the internet right out of college. Didn't even belong to a union. Husband just happened to be Frank White of the UAW. Now, I don't know if that, and there's a, I guess a, I can click on this.
Really?
Didn't
I did
you join,
not know that.
Yeah, and didn't you join, I think it's UAW 171, and but apparently has never actually worked in a plant. I don't know. I didn't know that could happen, but I guess it could. Why couldn't it?
Elizabeth Bunn was that way before she hired into the on staff with the Secretary's Union.
Okay.
I believe. Used to be, what was she, the treasurer? I think. Can't remember off that. So, well, that's an interesting thing to know. It really is.
And that's
who we have, who's going to be negotiating our next national contract.
Right. And, boy, the conversation goes on from there. Tom Laney says he wants to know, is that possible? And this Bobby Lee Coleman is the one who put the article up. Says, yes, it is, Tom. Years later, she joined Local 174, not 171, 174. I challenge anyone to find her work history where she ever had a working class job and not just for show. Well, I don't know. I'm just giving you the this is kind of interesting. I thought you'd like to. I know you've been busy, so I don't know if you checked this out or not. That's interesting. I don't know. I have no idea if that's so or not. Is she smart?
Yeah.
Some of the people we have up there in international, right?
Well, that would be my opinion. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that would be my opinion. But, you know, real quick before we get rolling on this, when we come back to our levels of representation here real quick, but before I forget anything, this Tuesday, November 4th, you know, I want to remind everybody to go out and vote. Wherever you're at, wherever you listen to the show, wherever the elections are in your area, go vote. Go enjoy your constitutional right and go out and voice. This is the one chance you get to voice your opinion, and it matters. Go vote. Whoever you're going to go vote for, go vote. The only thing I could ask you to do is just do a little bit of research on the candidates, who's running. Just find out what they stand for, whether that aligns with your beliefs or how you feel. Research them. Research, I think we also have in some states, we have state Supreme Courts that are being reelected right now.
Yes.
Look at some of their rulings in the past, and just do some research on all the candidates. And, of course, definitely look at proposals. Look at the proposals and figure out whether those proposals are going to benefit you or your community or your county or I don't know if there's any state proposals up on this one or not. I don't know. Do the research and go vote. We have got that has been negotiated on behalf of the UAW for the big three that we have this Tuesday off to go exercise our right to go vote. So it's negotiated for you folks. Go out and vote. You know, as my wife would say, you're getting paid to go vote. So in a roundabout way, but go vote. Other than that, I'm sorry. There's our
and
get out and vote plug.
Yeah, and please don't listen to all the commercials. Don't believe that crap. Do your own research and find the right person. We need help.
If you listen to all the ads, you wouldn't vote for anybody. Because if you listen to the ads, because each candidate's got something bad to say about the other, or this group has something bad to say about that group, or this group has something bad to say about that group, and well,
right.
Next thing you know, we've run out of groups. You know,
that's true.
So, but yeah, you're right. Go out and vote. You know, and don't believe everything these people tell you. I know exactly what you're saying. Don't believe anything that they're telling you. Go do a little bit of investigating. You got 2 days to go out and figure this out at the latest. You know, because the polls will usually close at, what, 7 or 8 on Tuesday night, I believe, right?
8 o'clock, I believe.
Open up at 6, I think, and then or 7, and then they close at 8. Or is it 8 to 8? No? I think I can vote on the way home. So I think it's 6 or 7 they open up. And you're right, I think they close at 8. Unless there's a line.
Believe me, when, I'm not there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Would be, but I won't be.
Excuse me, right. So, Cynthia Estrada, it's now to come back to that. That's a real interesting piece of information to think when...
It seems like we were talking about her last year before the convention, and she was like, who is this person? You know, I've never heard of her, and there was a lot of information about her, really. I don't know if it's true or not, but according to this person, Frank White, formerly the UAW, of the UAW,
right,
was her husband, and she got in right after college. So that's all I know. That's all the article. I mean, that's what they're talking about. Not really an article.
Right. You're right. I'm trying to think. the UAW's, the International UAW's website says the UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada was elected
yeah.
her second term as the Vice President on June 2014 at the Union 36th Constitutional Convention. The longtime union organizer and social activist was first elected Vice President in 2010 as the first Latina to be elected to serve as an international officer.
That's right.
She developed a passion for labor movement while listening to her grandparents and other family members talk about their experiences working on farms inside factories in Detroit. She graduated University of Michigan with a bachelor's degree in education. She began organizing. In 1996, she was assigned to help organize workers at Mexican Industries, Southwest Detroit. Organizing campaign resulted in one of the U.S. largest victories of Spanish-speaking manufacturing workers. Along with that win, Stephen Fiocchi appointed Estrada to international organizing staff in 2000. But it doesn't say, you're right, it doesn't say where she ever really worked. In 2010, Estrada's first term as International Vice President responsibilities included directing the UAW Independent Parts and Supplier Competitive Shop Department, Public Sector and Healthcare Servicing Department, and the Women's Department. I'm trying to think. What else is there? Estrada's tenacious and steadfast vision has resulted in breakthrough agreements in seeing other major automotive component parts. Staff will focus on improving job security by creating links between the supplier industry and GM. That sentence right there goes a lot deeper than what it's highlighted. It's a very deep, when you start talking about including links between the supplier and the big three, there's more to that than you need to do there. I'm going into discussion on that right now, but you'll need to do some homework on what that really means. She also was supporting the initiative of organizing efforts by parts workers who aren't earning a living wage in partnership with the low-wage workers. Well, if that's the case, I'll continue. Upon her re-election as Vice President in June 2014, Dennis Williams assigned Estrada to lead the General Motors Department, making her the first woman and first Latina to do so. In addition to the GM Department, she also assigned to lead Independence Parts and Suppliers and will continue to organize in those areas. She will continue to lead the Women's Department. If you remember, we lost a president and they consolidated. We had thought that the rumor was that Norma Jewell was going to get the General Motors Department. He did not. He ended up getting the Chrysler Department. And I'm going to go back to what this is off their own website, that she wants to, is supporting the initiative, the innovative organizing efforts. Innovative. There's an interesting word. Innovative organizing efforts by parts workers who aren't earning a living wage in partnership with other low-wage workers. Well, I can make part of her job real easy on that whole part, can't we? Just come right out and say that you're going to eliminate Tier 2 wages at General Motors Department then. And I'm not talking about the goofy two-tier wage that you're talking about down at Lear, neither.
No.
There.
No.
There's a give-me. There's a give-me, Ms. Estrada, from me. I'll help you with that. If you want to do it with lower... Sure.
Hold on, Scotty. Can't you see that happening at the paint department, at the new paint plant that they're building? Can't you see that being part of the Lear equation? Way they have, you know what I'm saying? You can see it. You can almost see it. Well, hopefully it's not true, but I don't know, after reading that Lear deal, if I'm correct about it. That's a new facility inside the plan. I don't know. Sure. Who knows?
I
don't tell.
I think you're right. I could see how that would, how if that is a glimpse into the future, how that could possibly lead that way. I say possibly.
You can
currently
see it,
we
you?
Have a.
Yeah.
I would say currently we have a solid logo that's representing its membership. That's my opinion. It's solid. I mean, I'm not saying it's a Walter Reuther caucus by any means, but I'm just saying it appears to be solid, and I would hope that they would. I asked the question the other day to somebody within the union at the local level, and I asked them if we're going to have material drivers over there. And they said, well, we don't know about that. I said, why would you not know about that? Somebody has to unload those paint trucks.
Yeah, you would think so.
So, you know, you're going to need drivers over there. You're going to need some material handlers over there. You're going to need more than just paint personnel over there. You're going to have some electricians over there. You're going to have some millwrights over there. You're going to have, you know what I mean? You're going to have needs that you're going to need over there that you're going to want to have those needs addressed. But you're right. I mean, I'd like to know. I would hope that they wouldn't try to bring in somebody at a lower wage than what we have right now. You're right. It's just
something probably not at all going to happen. But it's starting to look. It's not starting to. It just came to mind that it just looks familiar to the Lear deal.
Right.
You know, we got this new facility, and here we go. I don't know. We'll see. I hope not. And you're right. We got hopefully we got a strong local.
Right.
Whether they have anything to say about it or not is another thing.
Right. Well, here's something I guess you could throw at. I like throwing curveballs out. I don't think General Motors will have the lead this year.
At the what?
I don't think they'll be the lead negotiator this year. You know how they usually pick one to be the lead?
Yes. That's true.
What if you threw Norwood Jewel out there with the Chrysler department? Okay, now remember, got to go back a ways. Remember, Sergio Marchionne, remember, he said he wanted to do away with the Tier 2 system.
Yes, he did.
Okay, you remember that?
Yeah.
Norwood Jewel at the Chrysler department. That would be an interesting curveball, wouldn't it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it would.
Chrysler already has the alternative work schedule. They've already super consolidated their Division 2 or their skilled trades. By the way, Dock 157 is still out there for the Ford and the General Motors department that hasn't been implemented at a lot of General Motors facilities yet. That's where they're going to consolidate trades, folks, to two.
Yes.
I'm just thinking that could be something that could come up with, because Chrysler has all these things already, and then if you get that, and then if you want to pattern that contract back over to Ford and to General Motors, I would think if that's the case that the people at Ford and General Motors would have no other way to vote but no. Because you don't want what they've got right now.
No, not at all.
My little two cents into that. So, what do you think about that?
Hmm. I can see it happening. I don't think it
would
go. But I can see that happening. I can definitely see that. Can you imagine Norwood Jewell negotiating? You know, he'd negotiate.
Well, Norwood got his feet put to the fire when they were talking about hiring his people over at Delphi and then bringing them back over to General Motors.
Right.
And he said one thing and they did another. And they asked him about that. And he tried to explain that, and everybody caught that. And well, let's just say it didn't pan out how he explained it to everybody. So, and that's still happening. But anyway. If you're the corporation right now, or a corporation, one of the big three, and you know what's coming up, what would you do? I mean, that's why I'm asking, I guess. What would you do in this situation right now? You've got
two new
vice presidents.
Well, unless I was all for this global, global workforce getting together, I'd go to Chrysler if I was UAW, if they're for that. You would have to piece the puzzle together, but you probably would understand it more if you knew a little, but folks would understand what I'm trying to say. It seems that's what the UAW wants. That's what Bob King wanted. He wants... isn't he on a committee? Obama's TPP committee? Whatever the hell they call it, council?
Yeah.
Well, and you want to consolidate things in the big three. Well, you go to Chrysler. They've already done most of the hard, pushing for you already.
Yeah.
And they already said they want to, they didn't use the word bridge, but they want to get rid of two-tier. But they didn't want to bring two-tier up to tier one. Well, that could be considered a bridge. Bring tier two up, tier one down. Now, there's a lot of, there's a lot of plot politics, If you look at what they're doing, it's all over the place. It doesn't make sense.
Well, absolutely. Marchione said his offer was to pay one pay across the board for everybody. I believe it was $21 or $22 an hour. That's it for everybody.
Yeah.
And he said it. And he said as a representative of the corporation that he represented that it wasn't fair that these people all do the same work and getting two different pays, which was a jab at the union.
Jab at the union and the workers that you're overpaid. And
so,
hell, who knows? I don't know. Jeez. It's going to be one hell of a year. It won't be a lack of trying to find something to talk about.
No. There's a lot on these tables coming up for the big three. I mean, a lot of stuff coming up on these contracts, and the people who are going to be representing us at the negotiating table. We already know that they're already there. We read the article, I know it was last week, week before. They're already talking about it. They're not going to disclose what they're talking to us about. We know pensions is a big thing. You have the health care. We have wages. We have skilled trades language.
Right.
We have language that was there from the 2007 agreement that is still there. It has not yet been implemented as far as core and non-core. I think they've kind of put that on the shelf, but it's still there. And I guess it disappeared. They have never implemented it or pushed it forward because they knew they were going to upset too many people if they did it.
Right.
Which was actually, they didn't get the core, non-core. They got a better deal. I'm not trying to be facetious here, but they got a better deal by doing Tier 2 and Tier 1 because they went to core, non-core, less than $1 an hour for like non-core, I believe. And it still had limitations for people who hired in non-core, what the wages would top out at. But it wasn't as drastic or severe as Tier 2. And when Gettelfinger brought in that language for Tier 1, Tier 2 language, that really, as a corporate entity, that was a much better deal than the core, non-core language. Tier 1, Tier 2 was a lot better of a deal because I saved so much money by hiring a Tier 2 worker instead of a Tier 1. Two workers for the price of one of the derogatory name they call us, the legacy workers. And there used to be an attrition that if Don and I retired, they would hire one person off the street.
For every two, right.
For every two. And I don't know if they're doing that. And if there was a death, it was one for one. And I think it was three for one on the, for every three that retired out of Division Two or the skilled trades, they would try to get one more person in the trades back. And I don't think that they've ever done that. And I think that the way that they've hired in, they brought in at Tier 2 wages. And on top of that, that language, you have to couple the language that's in the white books, not in the national contract, but in the white books, if you look into Saturn. Saturn is specifically almost has its own language within the contract that 75% of the workforce will be hired in will be Tier 2 and or will also be what's the temporary workforce name I'm looking for? They call them something. I can't remember right off the top of my head. Anyway, I fail to remember right now, folks, but they have their own language in there. That's what they've done. Only 25% of the people down there are seniority-holding people who are at Tier 1 wages down at Saturn.
Okay, I want you to do is read in the chat room, but do not say the person's name.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm looking. I kind of thought about something like that. When you bring in, there's a possibility of a body shop coming in or a small body shop coming into our plant or by our plant. They would have a way to annex that parts across so they wouldn't have to manually ship those parts from across the complex or on the road. There's a way to do that if they want to do that. If you remember the original drawings of the artist's rendition of what our facility was going to look like, remember when they first brought that on the news, and you look at that, there is a building on both sides of our buildings. Some other people brought that up to me, too, about the possibility of a body shop being on the bottom or the first floor of the new building. I've worked in two different stamping facilities, and I know that you have to have a 50-foot ceiling. You have to be able to put an overhead crane in there to move things.
Yeah.
As my looking, looking at this facility, I don't see a annex or a wing on the new building right now that has a 50-foot ceiling on the first floor. I know they're not done boxing stuff in, but it looks like they're pretty well done because they've got most of the concrete done on the second floor. They have lights. If you haven't been by there at night, Don, it's quite something to look at. They're enclosing it and the lights are on so they can work at it. On it, and it's kind of cool when you go in there at night. But I'm looking for a 50-foot. You're looking for a 50-foot high ceiling on that main floor somewhere that allows you to put an overhead crane in for changing the dies or working on the transfer press too high to put in a 25-foot ceiling or a 30-foot ceiling. You have to allow a crane to get in above and work on things. And if you can't do that with a manual crane or a floor crane, then you have to have an overhead crane. And to have an overhead crane, you need a 50-foot ceiling. And also those walls will be super supported because the weight of the bridge that goes across.
Right.
It's also very wide. It's a very wide aisle. If it's a transfer press, for instance, it will take, I would say, 3 or 4 footprints. We're talking 175 to 200 feet across. And in that aisle length, the I-beams won't be just be support beams. They'll be main I-beams all the way down that aisle. And then they will run support beams along the sides of that to support. And then they'll bring in a track and they'll put, I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they're not small. Some of them you actually climb a ladder, and sit down in there and drive the overhead crane. And some of them are run by a remote control box and some are run by a pigtail, which is a big electrical cord that hangs down on a control box and you can control it.
A friend of mine used to control one out in Grand Blanc.
Right. And I understand that they've been talking about the trades over there and the manpower needs. And like I said, you know, it depends on who you talk to and when is the answer that you get. So,
reading.
Yeah, I'm taking just a pause to read that real quick. And usually what they like to do is they like to take, for instance, they'll take, when they're doing the layouts of these plants, especially the older plants that they're adding on to, they like to go to other plants and just to see how that works for them, how that flow works. The work that they're going to do, I'm hearing we're going to get an extended week off at the Christmas vacation time, that first week of January, because they're going to do a tie-in. And they want to have people moved out of the way because they know we're going to be moving some stuff on the floors. And they want to do a tie-in. And like the person says, it's interesting to know that they try to keep them very comparable to other plants. Kalamazoo Metal Fab was the exact identical twin sister to Lordstown, Ohio. We're still there?
Yeah, you're still here. Got quiet.
Okay. Yeah, I heard the click. That Lordstown, Ohio plant was laid out exactly the same. The same receiving docks were the same location. The office places were all in the exact same place. Everything was laid out. Kalamazoo Metal Fab, of course, did not finish their building in 68 and do the rest of the floor layout, which is going to would have been the assembly plant. At that time, would have been the Cavaliers, the old J-bodies. They like to go to the other plants to find out how the flow of the plant's going to work out to the schedule that they got to have, whether, like the person said, if we're going to bring more products in, how is that going to flow into it? You have to have somebody that's got enough vision on both sides of the fence, whether it be the union and, well, the union and management, is to figure down the road future products that we could add into this to make this whole thing a little more financially acceptable to us, which also offer back to the community maybe some more jobs, because we'll be able to build more vehicles at one time, have multiple lines, you'll have a new paint shop. I mean, if you needed to, you could always use, you could wind up with two paint shops out of this whole thing. One that could probably feed a slower line, because we know that paint facility that's in there right now is timed out. It's limited to how many vehicles it can push out in an hour or a day or a shift or, you know, however you want to break it down.
Two paint jobs. That was the original idea years ago. Was to tie into down there. They were going to tie it into Chassis 2 somehow or another and bring it down from down upstairs, downstairs. Now, how they were going to do that, I seen the guy retired. He was forced out. He's been here for decades. And he worked on those plans and weeks before, you know, he retired, he had them with him, and he was showing me how they're gonna. The idea was to tie into Chassis 2 somewhere along in there, and make an opening there somewhere from the big truck paint shop, paint booth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had a paint booth for the 560. That was separate from the main paint booth. But if they needed to, remember they put a switch in there that if they had to, when the 560 wasn't running, they could flip that switch over and paint the other trucks and bring them through and back over to the line.
Right.
I remember when they had to add that.
Yeah.
But that's just a... Well, it's a good situation to be in.
It's wonderful. I'm proud of the truck.
Yeah.
I really am. And the people that work their ass off, and they deserve it.
Yeah.
And don't have to hear from year to year. You know all the rumors. Good God, we had rumors in that plant going back. If you didn't go to Pontiac truck plant, you're gonna not work for GM anymore. And I told the big union boys, when you sign your transfer papers, that's when I'll go with you. I'll go and I'll sign. They didn't. I didn't. I didn't lose any seniority, and a lot of my friends, you know, they panicked and kids and hit the door and came back a little lighter in seniority for the plant. So the rumors up is wazoo. And I remember when we had so many caucuses, which is, I thought was good. Back then, I thought that was great to have that. We had three caucuses, I believe, because there was ideas being spread around. And I was just looking, something was blinking, meant your name blinking. There's nothing there. Okay. Anyway, they had ideas. This caucus had ideas, and this caucus had ideas, and there was a lot of arguing, but it got worked out, it got resolved, and everybody had good ideas. So having more than one caucus wasn't a bad deal. kind of a little pushy and shovey in a lot of fights, but nobody ran to the boss and cried like a, he hit me. You know, he went in the locker room or across the street, bowling alley, and took care of business. And that was the end of it. Not like that no more in that plant. There's no together.
No.
There's no, I don't know, I'm going to tell on you. You did this. You came back from breakaway.
Right.
I'm telling on you. You know, that kind of crap never went on when I hired him.
No.
I'm sure.
No.
I went and hired him. And my other friend that's listening, it never happened. He took care of business and resolved it.
Well, that just goes to show how far we've gotten away from the true solidarity movement, hasn't it?
Boy, yes.
They kind of watch out for each other instead of narking each other out. And if we found somebody who was narking us out, we highlighted them so everybody knew who they were, so that it made things a little more difficult for them to do things like that to our brothers and sisters.
They thought twice about it before they did it again.
Right. I'm not saying that the people who do abuse the system and make it harder on us, I'm not saying that that needs to be dealt with one way or another. I'm just saying, you know, it wasn't for somebody to go running and talk to the boss.
No, you didn't.
And
that's
you go tattle on us like little kids in school.
Yeah, that's what it makes you feel like, too. And, you know, you're 50-plus years old, and you're not going to lie, for God's sake. I didn't stay in the bathroom too long. Come on.
Right.
Some crazy stuff going on.
Right. Or, like, getting a hall pass to go to the bathroom. Seriously?
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, we have a solid local right now, and you would think that they are going to portray themselves in such a manner that they wouldn't ask for these ridiculous things, that they're going to set this up for the membership. Contrary to what everybody believes, and I'm not lying to you folks, when General Motors makes a decision like this, they take things into consideration. They do. But they ultimately make the decision. It's not what the local will give them. It's not what the county will give them. It's not what the state even gives them. If you can get all those things at those different levels, oh, that's great. I got a deal. But if they want it there, they're going to put it there, and they put it there for a reason. We go back to paragraph 8. That's in there for a reason, and it's in the middle of paragraph 8. It says, in addition, the products to be manufactured, the location of the plants, and the schedules of production, the methods and process, the means of manufacturing are solely and exclusively the responsibility of the corporation. I'll read that again. This is the entire paragraph 8. The right to hire, promote, discharge, or discipline for cause, and to maintain discipline and efficiency of employees is the sole responsibility of the corporation, except that the union members shall not be discriminated against in such. In addition, the products to be manufactured, the location of the plant, the schedules of the products, the methods, the processes, and the means of manufacturing are solely and exclusively the responsibility of the corporation. That's saying it's their business, folks, and they're going to do what they want to do there. Like I said again, if somebody wants to make that deal even sweeter, whether it be at the state, the county, or the local level, and the union's willing to give something up to sweeten that pot, then in this case, General Motors wins. why wouldn't you do something like that? I'm just saying they have a need, and somebody has done the math on this and figured out what they needed at the Flint truck assembly plant, and they said, we need to add on, and we can do this, we can do this, and somebody's thought that whole thing out, been done. So are we going to get a body shop also out of this? It's possible. We may. I quit trying to figure out General Motors a long time ago. And I keep hoping for the UAW. So I haven't given up on anybody yet. But it could be interesting to see what they could do because, like the person said, that there's a very good possibility that they're not done yet. If we think about Lordstown, Ohio, the Delta plant, Lansing Delta plant, in Michigan, and the Arlington assembly in Arlington, Texas, those three that I know of have added on or have allocated to add more money. I think Lansing Delta is getting another $63 million for some improvements, I believe. Those decisions have all been made by the corporation, and they're for a reason. And we're not told what those reasons are, so to say, but it looks good on the local. I'm just trying to think what they're going to do with that. Like I said, the possibilities. There is an article on workers, workplaces, and unions. By the way, that's our Facebook page, Workers, Workplaces, and Unions. And I did post an article from the Lansing State Journal talking about that $63 million. So if you're interested in reading that, you can find that on there. The investments that they get nowadays, I don't know what they're doing. If we're going to do anything green, so to say, on that new facility. I know some of the other new facilities they're going on, they're doing green technology, like, you know, like a living roof, like grass up there instead of a rubber and tar roof. You know what I'm talking about, right, Don?
Right. Yeah, I do.
I know they did that. One of the plants wasn't one of the southern plants. They actually did a living roof and some other stuff, and they won some national awards, I thought, for energy conservation. Oh, it was one of the plants that was next to a trash yard, but
dump.
They were next to one of these big dumps, yeah, and they were taking the methane from across the street that was being produced from the waste, and was running, I think, their steam with that methane, wasn't it? Isn't that how the story went?
I believe that's how the story went, and they got a hell of a deal.
Because then they...
You know, they saved money, and the government gave them a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, and, I mean, that was a win-win situation for everybody there. So it's letting the methane just go to waste. You piped it over and you ran some machinery with it.
Absolutely. I agree
so
with that.
That was a win-win situation. Plus, you know, they, like you said, you got some kickbacks from the government for going to the green technology. And what we know now, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to get around.
Now, I know you have to leave early because you've had one hell of a last few days, but let's have you had to the UAW Tennessee trick or treat comments or column?
I'm looking at that as we speak.
Okay.
What's your take on that? I mean, when I'm rolling down, I remember I did pass that. I did see that. That was, wasn't that earlier in the week that I had posted that, I think?
Well, I don't know exactly the date. I don't know the date. I think it's interesting because, like Dennis Williams says the same thing our past president said, that, oh, we've got enough. We've got enough now to, you know, to have a union. Well, why doesn't he take, it's just like Dick, you and myself, take it in and to the HR and say, hey, we got enough people that want to have a union. He's saying the same damn thing. And but what gets me is the people, you know, it's like a club. I guess what do they call it? This guy calls it local. What is it? 42.
Local like 42, correct.
Nobody pays anything. You just come in, you sign up, and you don't pay dues. You don't, you know, it's like a club. And you know, the U.S. Labor Secretary Thomas Perez is in Germany, or is going to visit Germany to learn more about this Works Council thing. And it's funny that he was discussing in the National Press Club, and he says, I believe we need to import this Works Council model to the United States, and I'm confident that we will. So it looks like it's already said and done. You know, he says one thing and he wants to go look at it and learn more about it, but all of, you know, he gives a speech in the National Press Club, and we need it here, and I'm confident we'll get it here. So it's like having the federal government backing the UAW up down there in Chattanooga, and after they said no, they don't want the UAW. It's not that they don't want a union,
right?
They just didn't want the UAW. And it's like, God, put a gun to their head. And that's what they're doing. And I think, I'm sorry, I think that's wrong. I think that is wrong. If, you know, wait your year, make your state your case. You made some bonehead decisions like raising union dues as you're trying to get these people to sign up for a union. You did all kinds of stupid things. You go back all these years, people haven't got a damn raise.
Buy money out of that to put in for organizing after the dues and fees were supposed to be done for one thing solely, and you voted to take $60 million out for the next 4 years out to go into the general fund from the newly reorganized strike/defense fund. The dues and fees were supposed to be solely for the strike, and you guys agreed to take the money out of it. And you're already getting 100% of the interest off the strike fund rolled into the general fund. I'm sorry, continue.
Right. Okay, and a lot of these people down there, they don't want their union dues telling them or the supporting candidates. They don't think that to them, they join a union, they shouldn't have to pay for UAW to get involved in politics. They don't want that. And whether you're a liberal, conservative, I don't care what you are. And that's their money. And a lot of them complained about that part of it, too, that they're putting millions of dollars into campaigns. And one smart, I guess he was a man, said, why would you back, he said, I was a liberal for a long time. And then I started reading and seeing what's going on now, you know, and he started really studying TPP being pushed by our president, which is a liberal, which is going to destroy a lot of things in this country and other countries. And the UAW's putting money into every liberal's pocket. He said, no, why should I do that? Why should I pay for that if I don't believe in it?
Right.
And
you're right. That was a Forbes article. And they had pulled that from Matt Patterson wrote the article. He was the executive director for the Center for Worker Freedom.
Right. Right.
So it's in my opinion, it is a biased article because it does not portray the union in a very good light. But there's some truth to the article in which you write, whether you like who wrote it or not, or the organization. I'm just saying he's trying to give you another viewpoint of this thing that's going on down there, because he said in the article that our president reiterated to Reuters that his union's intention is to be exclusive bargaining representative at Volkswagen Chattanooga within a year. And he's trying a new strategy, and that is that after Chattanooga lost to the UAW, opened up a club of sorts amongst the auto workers. They call it Local 42. It's not official. It's more like a voluntary society, and it's because they have no bargaining power to represent the people yet. They want that. But this article gives a different perspective to look at. That's all. And I thought it was well written. Occasionally they write an exceptional article. It's just the website in which it comes off is the World Socialist website. They have written some scathing pieces, scouring the UAW for its lack of participation, helping the membership through some troubled times. And of course the organization itself doesn't like that. Of course nobody likes being, you know, having the finger pointed at and being scolded by somebody. But they've written some articles about the Lear thing, and I never did post that. I apologize. I probably should see if I can find that and post that, because it gives a different aspect or a different look, or I just to look through, just to make you think. I don't say that I agree with them. I'm not going to say that I disagree. I'm just saying occasionally they put something up there that I think is straight as that arrow that you're looking down when you pull your bow or draw your bow back. And there's been times when they've hit hard. I can remember a couple articles in the past that were just, in my opinion, were spot on. So,
no,
I don't know what else
you did
to do.
You're right. And, the people that put union workers down, I they have never worked in a plant. They don't have an idea what the hell, they just, please walk a mile in a people's shoes. Work a week and see. Come and talk. I'm sure you got the Flint Journal back in the day, not just a few years ago, actually, with the buyout, or not buyout, but bankruptcy and all that. Give me a job there. Well, you're my age, you idiot, because this person gave his age. Well, you could have got a good job. You could have hired in when I did. They were hiring all kinds of people. But you didn't. Now you want a job. But shooting us down, sleeping on our job. So let me tell you, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen at all. So,
no.
You walk shoes, don't put it down. But if you want to put the international, say something about the international union, and, well, I've never been there, so I wouldn't know. I don't think they represent us like they should.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
In your opinion. In my opinion, I would agree with your opinion. In our opinion, I think there are some Tier 2 employees who would also agree with our opinion. There's a lot of people out there, I think, share our opinion with us in that. If I was a man of science and was to write all this stuff down in a formulation or within specifications like an engineer would do, I probably could make a very good argument statistically what's happened to us. But I'm not, so I won't go there. I'm just saying that I'm sure that we could find the support for everything that our opinion is detailed in.
No, the one just was writing in one of, it was either on unions, workers' unions. Oh, my God.
Workers' places and unions.
Thank you, website. I don't know if it was that one or others that said, when they come around and want you to authorize a strike, don't do it. What's your thought on that?
Well, historically what happens when you authorize a strike, you're giving your local and or local and the international cue out of work on a strike, which means we didn't agree with the corporation on something and we're going to take our workforce out of your facility so that you cannot work. I've always supported getting a strike vote. If you get a huge amount of support on a strike vote, let's say like 75-80% of people agree with it. That's a thermometer that lets the local and international know where the facility stands. Go ahead.
I don't know exactly what word for word what he was saying, but he was saying then that would stop these two or three day strikes at these prestigious strike, you know, like truck plant shuts down, it would shut down metal fab or some engine plant or whatever.
Right. They let somebody else take the role. They let one standalone plant affect a whole bunch of plants to take us down.
Right. What he
instead of
saying,
doing like.
Yeah, and in the last few, come on, what was it, 2007, I think, you're up two days. And it got us absolutely nothing, but it made the UAW look like they've got something, you know, of course. That's his game. That's what he thinks the UAW plays their games. He said, now, if you want to go on strike and take everybody out, every UAW factory, shut it down, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Shut everybody down. And not just this here, you know, where they think they might have a little trouble getting a ratification vote. And I think that's where he was coming from. I'm not positive, but it seems like that's where he was going with it. I just wanted your opinion.
Yeah. I think you go back to, Walt Luther believed that you take them all out. If you're going to strike, you call a strike. And then what they've done was these little systematic strikes where they take a supplier out, something who's going to affect this person, who's going to have a trickle effect. Look, if you got a problem with somebody, if you got a problem with a corporation, go out against the whole corporation. One, that's going to bring the issues to light much quicker because instead of waiting for a trickle effect, to happen. You're going to hit the corporation with millions of dollars of profits in a day. You're going to hit them right square in the pocketbook, and that'll bring them back to the negotiating table. Now, the problem, I can see what he's talking about by not giving them the strike support, but that's a real slippery slope because historically, like I said, that when you get a strike vote like that, that gives the strength that shows that they have the support of the membership. Okay? If you show the strength of the membership, then you have a problem. And I understand what the ideal is by not giving the strike support to them so that they wouldn't do this trickle-down strike.
Maybe if everybody votes for authorization of your union to go on a strike, change it at the international level and say that means all of us.
Right. If I take out, let's say, for example, if Flint Truck Assembly was to go on strike, so would Arlington, Fort Wayne, every assembly plant in the organization, every stamping plant, everybody that's underneath the General Motors badge and the UAW, they go on
that's
strike.
Right.
And
that
if
way,
you did that, you'd get the support of the membership 100%, I'm almost willing to bet. But understand, folks, things have changed because some people didn't get out and vote this last election, and Michigan's now a right-to-work state.
That's
so if you go out on strike, it's a different ballgame. We're still under a federally recognized negotiated contract with the National Labor Review Board and the SEC.
But remember, there was politics with Bob King with this right-to-work state.
Absolutely, and we know how that worked out and Mr. King's involvement in that. And there was a showdown, and, they called it bluff. And
called his bluff, and I said no. And King said it in the newspaper, Detroit Free Press and News, that yes, that meeting did take place. Yes, the governor said he wouldn't bring it up. If King let this drop, King wouldn't let it drop. And now you've got what right to work. But all I hear about is the governor sucks because we have right to work. Well, King, he kind of pushed him into it also. The governor said he wouldn't push for it. Put it on the ballot. And
that affects how
folks, for people that hate my guts, that's fine. He admitted to it. He absolutely
right.
did it. So when you
being right to work.
I might not like a lot of things this governor does either, but it was, apples are apples. Come on. King was in his office. The governor said, I will not push for a right to work state if you don't go and push to get it on the ballot.
Correct.
But if you lose, I will promise you, I will sign it. King lost.
The governor signed it.
And the governor signed.
Now our right to work. So
when you bring it up, make sure you put King's name involved in there too. Please.
Right. And when you look at the right to work state laws, I believe that if we were to go out on strike, once the corporation said I've had enough of this, we're hiring new workers.
Right.
I don't know if we could get locked out, but I'm sure things would be a lot more interesting as far as us trying to get back to work.
Yeah, I think it probably would.
So, I don't know if you have facilities in right-to-work states, you may not be able to do a national strike. I would think the one would cover the others, but I could be mistaken on that. As a national strike, whether you're in a right-to-work state or not, we've in essence, have quit building vehicles for you, period. And whether you're in a right-to-work state or not, I don't know how that would work out in the national aspect, but I would certainly think it wouldn't take very long to get parties together at the negotiating table and get a resolve very quickly. But like you said, you've got to have someone who's willing to do a national strike instead of a hit and miss and hope for the trickle effect. It's an interesting stage on the strike support. You know, a lot of people think like what we just talked about in the last few minutes. When you go to strike, when you go to vote at your local to give the authorization for strike, that shows support. You know, I'm sure other people are thinking about that too. In light of that, they still think about what happened at Lear. They still think about what Marcioni said about wages. They still think about who's going to be the lead negotiator, if they're going to have maybe Noah lead, take the lead with the Chrysler, or if they're going to have it do with I can't say amateur, but I will say a rookie negotiating at General Motors Department. It's real interesting because the scenario there would be two firsts, a first lady VP for the union and a first CEO for General Motors. By the way, Mary Beera, she does say that we have to change the way we do business here, but you understand she's also still a savvy business person, and I heard that she is a tough negotiator. So that can make things interesting, and usually things don't go well when two women don't agree. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just saying from my life experiences, when two women don't see eye to eye, it's usually not very pretty. This whole thing's all going to play out here within the next year. It's real interesting when they're in the call. I've not seen anything for resolutions being passed out at our local yet. They were supposed to be starting to get out on the floor on the 26th. Of October, and that hasn't happened yet. So believe me, tonight I'll be asking where the resolution forms are at, because we all need to write some resolutions. One is to end Tier 2 without losing our pay. We don't want to bridge that gap at a lower bridge. We want to keep that standard where we're at and bring everybody else up to ours. I think another resolution people should be writing at these locals is to bring the cost of living allowance back. I think that's imperative. I think we also need to have resolutions that we redo the language on the pension fund and uncap that again. It'd be real interesting to see if people would be willing to write those resolutions and get those out there, because if enough people wrote those, honor them, but it would definitely put some conversation piece on the table when they take those and look at those at the regionals, and then, of course, back to Solidarity House.
Well, I used to buy it. I'm not so sure that it does anymore, but I used to think, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I used to think those made a big difference, but I don't think they make any difference at all. I think they know what they're trying to do, and it doesn't matter what the hell's on those papers, what the membership wants. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. But I know you wanted to get out of here at 8 o'clock because you do have to work tonight. And I know I haven't said why you've had a busy few days, but you've had a terrible few days. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
I'll tell people I'll just tell them if we had a death for somebody that's almost, I would say almost family, but for us, and we we went to check on the individual, and we had found them deceased. And all the family, unfortunately, at this time of year, they go down south and they visit the family. So we had to stick around with the police and to the ambulance. The ME got there. We had to answer questions. And I hadn't been to bed the last 72 hours before last night. I only had like 8 hours of sleep. So it's been a real rough week. And we did the viewing and the ceremony today. It was very quick. So that's why it's been a long week. And I just wanted to just sit down for just a little while before I had to go in tonight just to chill.
Absolutely. I know I've heard you talk about this person and this dog before.
Absolutely.
And quite close to this lady, and very young, really, 64 years old, and it's sad. And I can't imagine walking into my neighbor's house and finding her like that. No. It'd be a hard time sleeping at night.
Oh, yeah. It's there, but we'll get over it. But, you know, the sad thing of it is she owned her own business. Okay? She did alteration. And she worked on some of the county and some of the local officials' uniforms, you know, for alterations or for maybe putting patches on new uniforms. She did, of course, a lot of people's alterations for taking in and out pants and hemming stuff, dresses and things like that, of course. But here she is, a small business person, and she always told people, go vote. Whether we agreed on a political viewpoint or not, she always believed that we need to go vote. And her passion was the Genesee County animal control, because more and more people are not taking care of their animals. And that was close to her, but not that I'm plugging that, but I'm just saying is
right.
She didn't go to the doctor very often because her health care was so expensive. So we don't know why she died. We just know that she wasn't sick that we know of, or that she told us. And but I remember having a talk with her about that, and she said because she was a business owner, a small business owner, very difficult for her to go to the doctor. And I just think that, you know, that's something that we really need to address and look at. You got some of these people out here that to this day still can't afford health care.
That's a shame.
And when you have somebody who's worked in the community, and she did have employees that she hired. She had many, but she had a couple employees, you know. Her cost of doing business is she still has to pay into the state for unemployment insurance. I mean, there's certain things that she has to do legally. And I don't think she ever put anybody on a layoff. So, you know, she just tightened her own belt even more and kept everybody working. So I remember that was one thing that was very near and dear to her, that and her Flint City water rate that she was vehemently opposed against. So I guess from this side of the grave, she would probably tell her you go vote Tuesday, but know what you're going to vote on. So go vote. But with that note, I think I'll sign off. And
hold on just for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
A friend of ours wants T is the T4.1. Agree with this opinion, or you know, I think that is the 14-1 and 14-2 is a proposal, a state proposal for hunting, wolf hunting, I believe. I'm not, yeah. So that's
wolf we'll find. I don't know. I've seen, like you said, you listen to what's on TV. Believe me, tomorrow afternoon, I will have went through the complete ballot. You can go online and find a mock ballot for Michigan. And I will have went right down the list for whatever I'm eligible to vote for. I will have done homework on the proposals and where these people stand. Is, you know, of course, I can't tell anybody how to vote. I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. I'm just saying, you know, things aren't always as what they appear to be. So do your homework for the candidates and for the proposals and do what you feel is going to be best for you. But whatever you do, go out and vote, because if you don't vote, you let somebody else do it for you.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's important, because you're going to be sending some new people back to Washington again. So, and a governor. So, you know, if you look at the governor that you've got right now, you need to evaluate, well, how kind of a job he's done the last 4 years. And whether that's the guy you want to put back in for another 4 years, the new guy coming up, looks like he may be a better choice for you. Just do a little homework on both of them. That's all I'm saying, folks. Just do a little bit of homework on them. And if there's an independent, maybe there's an independent. Maybe there's somebody from another party out there. You know, I think the John Birch Society still is out there. Just, I'm not saying vote for the John Birch Society. I'm just saying I think they're still out there. They might have somebody running. You never know. Go look at one of these mock ballots and see what your choices are. And, you know,
great.
I'm not going to vote tonight, but I mean, you know how I stand, you know. Your choices have been already made up for who you get to choose, so. But I might, like I said, I might get political with it tonight, so.
No, we won't.
Political. Let's all remember to go out and vote Tuesday, November 4th, and hopefully everybody has set their clock back an hour by now and has realized that. So,
yeah, I didn't realize it is. That's neither here nor there. You get at least an hour and a half to sit down and relax. And I want to thank everybody for coming in the chat room. The guests, T-Bone's even in the chat room. Thundercracker,
yep.
Thank you. We're going to leave you now. And you all have a safe work week. And get out to vote. Get out there and vote. And do your thing. And if anything changes, Scott, on Tuesday I'll get back with you. All right?
That'll work. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. And we'll count on seeing you back again next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.